The feast of St. Peter and Paul, the external solemnity of St. Peter and Paul. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Herod the king set hands on certain members of the church to persecute them. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also during the days of the unleavened bread. After arresting him, he cast him into prison, committing the custody of him to four guards of soldiers, four in each guard, intending to bring him forth to the people after Passover. So Peter was being kept in the prison, but prayer was being made to God for him by the church without ceasing. Now when Herod was about to bring him forth, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and outside the door sentries guarded the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood beside him, and the light shone into the room, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains dropped from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak about you and follow me." And he followed him out, without knowing what was being done by the angel was real, for he thought he was having a vision. They passed through the first and the second guard and came to the iron gate that leads into the city. And this opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and straightway the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the power of Herod and from all the Jewish people and all that the Jewish people were expecting." Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, Who do men say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord gives us a warning about anger. He says that there are three levels to anger. If you recall, he says, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not kill." And then he says, "But I say to you, even if you are troubled in your heart or have anger in your heart towards your brother, this is a sin," paraphrasing here. Then he goes on and he says, "If you say raka, you are in danger of the Sanhedrin." And then he says, "And if you say to your brother, you fool, you're in danger of hell fire." Our Lord gives us the three stages of anger here in the Sermon on the Mount. It's important for us to remember this. Anger begins internally. And even if we don't show it externally, it can still be a sin, or it is still a sin, even if we're troubled in our heart. But then there's a deeper level of anger, and that's when we then express it. That word raka, I've preached on this before, the word raka, the fathers of the church say, that's not really a word, that's just a sound that they made when they were upset. It's like when we go, ah, or something like that. Ah. That's what they mean. That's what our Lord means. When you express your anger, even if it's a word that doesn't really mean anything and not directed, you know, we're not actually saying anything, it's still an external expression. He says, and that's a worse level. But then what happens is the third is when we actually then attack our brother. you fool, or there are many other worse things that are said in anger. Or, even though our Lord doesn't say it, sometimes rather than saying you fool only, then people begin to take the Lord's name in vain, or curse God, or even worse things. Then we're in danger of hell fire. That means it's a mortal sin. It's a mortal sin. Now, anger is very common today. It's very common today. It's one of the seven capital vices. And we should see it at least tempting us regularly. Maybe, this is my own rule, I would say at least once a week. It might not be a strong temptation. It might just be a minor temptation. But if we are tuned into our interior life, we should see it at least once a week. Other people might see it once a day or multiple times a day for those of us who are experts at anger, right? Now, how does anger work? Anger works because it is self-centered. I perceive some kind of offense against me, and I want to set things right to get back at the person. And so anger is defined as an inordinate desire for vengeance or revenge. Inordinate. It's not properly ordered. So someone offends me. Maybe I'm going 80 miles an hour down the fast lane and someone cuts me off going 75. Did you see what that guy did? You honk the horn or maybe do something else. He offended me because I should be able to blaze down this road as fast as I want. And he did this to me, so I get back at him. Even though he doesn't hear me, or no, well, maybe I'm honking the horn or doing something else. That's my attempt at revenge, something like that. Maybe I'll go and cut him off and then slow down even slower in front of him just to show him what it's like. Somehow we want to right the wrong. This is anger. Most of the time, it's disordered. John Cassian, who was a monk from the early part of the church, and he was very influential. His writings were influential. Many people read it. He says that anytime anger is done with any type of emotion, it's sinful. Now, St. Francis de Sales holds on to that also. He teaches that. St. Thomas Aquinas doesn't quite teach that. He says, no, there can be some emotion. But it should be for us a good thing for us to remember. If we're getting emotional about it, it's disordered. The difficulty is that the person who gets angry, right, we can't think right. And so we think we're justified when you get angry. So it's hard to determine whether it's just or not. Way it is good. It's a good little rule of thumb to say that if you're getting emotional, then you're probably disordered. It's probably sinful. And it doesn't matter if it's a just anger. That is, maybe someone dents your car. You're like, hey, you know, you dented my car. You know, did you have your insurance card? And the person's trying to walk away. And you're like, hey. And you get a little angry, you know, there's a certain amount of justice there because they damaged your car, so they should try to restore the wrong. But if we're getting too worked up about it, that's also sinful. The offense against us, so there's two different things. The offense against us, we can perceive an offense that's not really there. The person cutting us off, well, you're speeding, and that person's going to speed limit, or maybe they're trying to avoid an accident. Or that's just life in a big city. You know, that happens. There's no real offense against you. But we take offense. That's one way in which it's wrong. Another way, maybe there was a true offense. But then our response is too strong. Both of these are forms of anger, inordinate anger. We have to recognize that, see them. Now, when we talk about anger, you know, we often do think of that, you know, hot anger, the Mediterranean temper, right, as they call it, the Mediterranean temperament, anger. There's also the icy anger, right, the silent treatment, right? Don't talk to the person. I'll get back at them. I'm not going to talk to them. Are you angry at me? No response. You know. Well, you know what you did. Well, maybe not, but there's that type of anger also. And again, if it's disordered here, it's a sinful anger. Actually, any that type would be if we hold on to it for a long time. And that can be extended even longer to hold a grudge. That's a form of anger. Impatience is a form of anger also. These are all sinful anger. You know, to think about holding a grudge, oftentimes you hear about people in families, you know, maybe two siblings or cousins or something. They haven't talked in 30 years. And it's been so long, nobody even knows why they're angry at each other. But it's there. And the family kind of dances around it. And that's a form of anger. That's a form of anger that can arise oftentimes. Quarreling. Rixa, as it's called in Latin. That little personal enmity. Maybe not as extreme as that, but at work, these things often arise. We have our own personal little enemies. They get angry at us, and we get angry at back, and then the relationship just spirals down. And you just get angry at each other, and you hold a grudge, and it's a little quarrel against each other. It happens oftentimes at work, happens oftentimes in families. Well, we just don't get along. That's just the way it is. No, it's because we are not humble enough. Anger is based upon our pride. We live in a very prideful society, so anger is very common. Pride. You did this to me. That's the start of it. You did this to me. So the solution is what? Humility. Humility. Technically, the theologians would say it's meekness, but for the purposes of our own spiritual life, we'll just say it's humility. Humility and meekness are very close together, and I'm not going to make that distinction here, so we'll just say they're basically the same thing. Humility and meekness. This is the virtue that helps us not to get angry. You know, what does our Lord say? He says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Think about our Lord at his crucifixion or while he was arrested. He was arrested. He was perfectly innocent. He was guilty of nothing. And yet he was falsely arrested, falsely accused. People lied about him. He was unjustly scourged. He was unjustly mocked and unjustly crucified. And what did he do? Nothing. He was silent. He accepted it. It wasn't a just punishment to him, right? So even then, it was unjust. And what did he do? He was meek, humble, and mild. As they say, as the lamb is taken to the slaughter. This month of June is the month of the Sacred Heart. We haven't talked much about the Sacred Heart, but today, the last Sunday, let us look to the Sacred Heart. His heart is to be the model for our own heart. Now, if you're closer to Our Lady, Our Lady's heart is also the same. She is our Lord's perfect disciple. She is meek and humble also. So we should pray to them. Let my heart be like yours. Let my heart be like yours. The difficulty is with sin is that once we commit the sin, right, we then fall into concupiscence. It's easier to commit that sin again and again and again. And we can't get out of it. Sometimes people say, Father, you know, I'm working on this. I'm working on this. You're not going to fix yourself. I am not my own Savior. I am not my own Savior. It is only by the grace from Christ that I am fixed. My soul is damaged, and I damage it through my sins that make it easier for me to get angry again and again. I have to turn to Christ to ask Him for the graces to help me overcome this. Now, I have to say yes to those graces, so there is a part that I have to do. But we have to turn to Him. And ask Him for the graces. Let my heart be like yours. like I said, maybe turn to Our Lady, that my heart be like yours, meek and humble. Now, that is one of the virtues that helps us overcome anger, and that's referred, and that's in reference to the offense given against us. The humble person, the meek person, just lets it go. Doesn't even let it bother him. Our Lord, when he was unjustly, all these unjust things were done to him, he let them go. But there's also another virtue, and that is the virtue of clemency or mercy. And this is in response to our response. So it's that, I'm going to get back at you, I want to right the wrong. And that's mercy. To not really ask for a full payment back. You know, someone maybe dings the door of your car, it's a young kid or something, you say, look, don't worry about it. It was just a mistake. It's an old car. It's going to go to the junkyard next year anyway. Forget about it. You don't have to fix it. That's clemency. That's mercy. And rightly so, you could demand for, you know, payment to get that fixed. You did this to my car and you're going to pay. But you just let it go. Mercy. Forget about it. Now that's an extreme example. But we can do it in other times also, other instances in our life. When people do things unjustly to us, we let them go. Just in mercy, to not hold on to the grudge. Also, this is, again, something that we look to our Lord for. Our Lord is merciful. We want His mercy. We are all guilty of something. Every adult is guilty of something, of some sin. And we all have to turn to our Lord. We can't fix ourselves. We have to ask Him to have mercy on us so that we will not pay the price for our sins. And again, then we look to Him in this aspect also. Our heart should be merciful like His. Ready to forgive, to let things go, not to hold grudges and let it develop into a little personal enmity. That other person might hold that way, but we shouldn't do that. Now, we need to go down really quick as to when is anger a mortal sin? We know our Lord says you're in danger of the hellfire. When is it a mortal sin? It's a mortal sin, I should say, because it is when it is directed against charity for our neighbor. We are to love God and we are to love our neighbor. And it's when we do not love our neighbor, that is when it's a mortal sin. The anger itself might not be mortal, but sometimes the anger leads to other sins. This is why it's a capital vice. It leads to other sin. Gossiping about the person, getting back to them, oh, well, let me tell you about her, you know. That is when it becomes a mortal sin. Or maybe when we start doing other things, cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain, maybe throwing things, kicking things. This is when it becomes mortal. Now, sometimes when we are hot with anger in the moment, even though it's a grave sin, we don't have full reflection because of the passions get out of control. And then maybe in that regard, it might be mitigating circumstances. It's still a grave offense to God, but we are not as guilty. But then there are other times when the event happened in the past and we're holding on to a grudge. I will never forgive that person. Yeah, that's serious. Or when we don't want to forgive them. Or maybe when we reflect on things and we gossip about the person. That's when it becomes serious. That's when it can become a mortal sin. This is serious. Anger. So the solution is what? The solution is our Lord and His Sacred Heart. We need to pray for meekness and humility so that those things won't even affect us. Those offenses against us won't even affect us. And then we need to pray for clemency and mercy so that we will not seek that revenge. We'll just let things go. And in true charity, that we'll let them go. So, here at the end of the month of the Sacred Heart, let us then turn to the Sacred Heart. Ask our Lord, ask our Lady, let my heart be like yours, merciful, meek, and humble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.